we're back. Once again, people, it's the 13th. Tuesday the 13th of September, listeners. The beat goes on. A major disaster, semi-disaster, I guess you can call it, at the network. Flooding in the offices. Well, I'm sure John will talk about that today. Always seems like there's something to get in the way of getting the truth out and the message. So today we are live on the 13th of September. We are in the midst of a major programming modification direction. Not on the network, but in the country and the world. We're going to cover briefly silent weapons for quiet wars. We're going to cover what is going on down there in the disaster-stricken area. Because, listeners, this is all being engineered. Every bit of it. We've been engineered into a life of deception our entire lives. And the engineering of the 20th century smokescreen is very, very indicative of that. Thousands of lives lost in Vietnam and Korea for nothing, people, for absolutely nothing. These individuals that gave their lives in Korea and Vietnam, and now in the Middle East mess, are dying for the UN system. That's what it is. We have, right now, Mexican troops, American troops, Canadian troops, patrolling this devastated area. This is the UN system, listeners. NAFTA, a victim of GATT. GATT formed in 1947 from the UN system. That's what this is all about. The integration of our borders, dropping of the borders. And the point is, what do you do to integrate this country? You send the military overseas to other engagements, international engagements for the UN system. You leave us with no military in America, so you have the, well, little military in America, and then you have the excuse to bring in foreign troops in America today. Mexico, Canada, those are foreign troops, listeners. Foreign troops. UN troops. NATO is going to have a bigger picture. I told you this a long time ago. This is going to happen, and it's here. The engagement of the Biodiversity Treaty and all 40 chapters of Agenda 21, well underway. In the meantime, what are these UN troops doing in this zone of cooperation? They're disarming the population. Everybody that loses their firearm will never return. It will never come back to them. Their guns will never come back to them. That's the number one direction, listeners, is to disarm the populace. It's happened in other countries in the past. It's happening here right now. What we have to do is expose the weather modification that has engineered what has happened now. Very easy to do. So easy. Go to AmericanExpose.com. Darren and Dennis and their terrific work. Listeners, it doesn't get any better than AmericanExpose.com now. With Dennis and Darren doing their work, it doesn't get any better. The information is overwhelming on AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K. We're going to have a guest on the second hour, David Bay from Cutting Edge. And we will take phone calls this first hour and information. You don't have to call in. If you have to regurgitate something, if you have to get it out of your system, now's the time to do so. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. However, you don't have to call in. I have plenty to do. Right on the front page. I have an announcement to make. It looks like we're going to be getting Vitamin Research Products back as a sponsor, as I left them abruptly when I left GCN, listeners. And I felt guilty for that, having left the way I did and leave Vitamin Research Products out in the cold. And so we're going to get them back. They're going to be a new sponsor to the network. It's going to happen. VRP.com is their website, www.vrp.com. It will be happening very, very shortly. Vitamin Research Products and Dr. Ward Dean will return to American Exposé as well. Before we take phone calls, engineers predicting new look for Big Easy, and this is the Hurricane Katrina aftermath. Making Peace in the Ruins is what the title of this Sunday edition of The Oklahoman says. While Americans watch the worst of New Orleans unfold, some experts insist the great jazz city can be rebuilt better than before. But cleaning up this mess likely will take years, with a new city slowly emerging in phases and wetlands replacing the flood-prone areas, listeners. There it is, the Biodiversity Treaty, right in front of your nose. Agenda 21, right in front of your nose, and most people don't have a clue what a wetland is. Don't have a clue. And there's the crux of the situation. Most don't understand because they don't do research. They don't try to realize what this is all about. So keep this in mind, people, as you read information, as you do your research on our website, AmericanExpose.com, you'll come to certain conclusions. Lost my mic again, huh? Okay, well, I'm back. Well, we're going to have to get that straightened out, evidently. All I do is just pound on the thing and it seems to come back. Let's take, let's see now. Oh, boy. John in Tennessee, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, sir.
In the words of Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. listen, the reason I called Friday, I believe, you had a kind of like an old gentleman call in and said he was going to make an announcement. I wasn't able to write down either his website or what station that he was on. I wondered if you recalled that phone call.
No, I do not.
The Watchers?
I do not recall. I apologize.
Well, I was wondering if maybe someone could remember that call and kind of pass the information on. Some kind of an announcement that he was going to make, and he called them the Watchers. He said it wouldn't be God or anyone else that would save us from this. It would be the Watchers.
I don't know what to say about that one.
I don't either, but it did pique my curiosity.
Well,
you know, it's amazing, Chris. I've said all along since this hurricane took place, yeah, New Orleans will be rebuilt, but no one that ever lived there will go back. Very few, if any.
Right.
And it'll be a model city. And I've tried to tell others about this on local radio stations, you know, that have brought up the question of it, will it be rebuilt? Should it be rebuilt? And what do you think will take place? And I've told them. And I know that it sounds to them as though I've fallen on my head when you give this kind of information to people that just don't get it.
Right.
That are supposedly educated people that can't see the forest, the trees. It's aggravating.
Yes, it's very aggravating, especially when they have the opportunity to find out for themselves.
And they're worried about the ten greatest country music songs of all times. And what are your 10 favorite school teachers and all that nonsense? They're really with tremendous power that's at their fingertips, all for the sake of making a buck.
Absolutely. Well, listen, John, I got to let you go. You're breaking up, but I appreciate your phone call. Thank you, John. Let's go to John in Oklahoma. Much to do, listeners, today.
Hello there, Chris.
Hello, John. How are you?
I am Ian Collard and raided by Communist Colorado.
I remember.
And here's the thing. I have filed. People better get on their congressmen and their senators.
Yep.
They could impeach George Bush.
Well,
here. I have filed a case in U.S. District Court, ES 294, against the communist governor, Bill Onionhead Owens, who has taken a constitutional oath of office. He's perjured his oath.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, John. At this point, if you impeach someone, president, governor, whoever it may be, they're just going to replace them with another lackey. I think what needs to be done at this stage is exposure to our representatives about their documentation about weather modification to move populations that's just happened now. They've reported 1 million people have to be relocated.
Right, I know. And the thing is, our Congress and senators has the authority to override this. Now, I've sent all of this and a complaint to Senator Wayne Allard, Ken Salazar, and John T. Salazar about what these judges are doing.
Yeah.
They're communists.
Yeah.
And Governor Bill Owens is a communist. That's my court case.
And once again, if you want to make it polite, use communitarian, because it's the same thing.
Yes, it is. And your show is getting the word out. Now, last week you were cut off for 2 days.
On shortwave.
Yes.
Yes.
And it didn't come through.
That's normal.
You're getting the word out. Those politicians don't like it.
The politicians that are communitarians don't like it, but they're good people in place of prominence that want to know the truth. And with the sheer numbers of people waking up on this issue of weather modification and manipulation, we have a chance to turn the tide.
Well, the people better wake up, because now, did they declare Oregon a national disaster area?
They're going to declare every state of the Union a national disaster eventually.
So that the foreign troops can come in here, because our people are gone.
Absolutely.
So it's
by design.
The people. The people's going to have to lock and load.
Well, you have to defend yourself. You have to make a stand. We all have to make a stand, because nobody's going to take my firearms that I've had since I was a young man.
Well, here we go now. See, that's what they're trying to do with those Mexicans coming up here from Mexico into
Louisiana. Absolutely. A shooting war is being planned. I'm certain of that. A shooting war is being planned. It's time. It's time to prepare.
Yes,
I'm sorry to say.
There's supposed to be a lawyer down there in Louisiana that is a constitutional man, and he is bringing up charges against the mayor and the governor down there because they're not doing their jobs.
Well, let's get some information on that so we can follow it. Okay, John?
I heard it on shortwave, and I can't tell you where it was at, Chris. But hang in there. You're doing great.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you a bunch.
Bye-bye, John. No, John from way back. I know a lot of you from way back when I used to be on the air on shortwave. And that was a disaster that happened there. Sort of my making of a disaster of losing shortwave, but I was under extreme circumstances at the time. I look here in the paper where an Oklahoma National Guard Sergeant Rick Barton of Waterford stands in a heavy expanded mobility tactical truck. That's a heavy expanded mobility tactical truck. It looks just like a Soviet truck, people. It just looks like one of those Soviet mobile missile launching trucks. It might have been built in the Kama River Truck Factory in Russia, for all I know. Because we don't have any manufacturing in America hardly anymore, do we? Could be a Russian-built truck that they're driving there on the front page of the Oklahoman. Barney in Maryland, welcome.
So I want to lay something on you.
Yes, sir.
Pappy Bush turned chicken and bailed out of his TBF and left his crew to die during World War II.
That's what I understand.
Carter gave away the Panama Canal.
Yes, sir.
Clinton went AWL from Oxford University and demonstrated against the U.S. and England and the USSR.
During the Vietnam War.
Right. Bush Jr. went AWL from the National Guard.
Yes, that's what I understand.
And I volunteered for two wars, but with the traitors running the government and conducting unconstitutional wars, there's no way I would go into the federal military again.
I understand that, too.
And when you invade another nation and kill the inhabitants, it's murder.
Yes.
If you have to die, stay home and die in defense of the Constitution. Why go into an unconstitutional war and take a chance of being crippled, killed, or being castrated by depleted uranium?
It's incredible the way things are being engineered today and the way the American people are still, many of them, slumbering to the propaganda being proposed to them.
Yep, it sure is. Thank you.
Thank you, Barney. I appreciate your comments. I don't see anything wrong with what he's saying. It's very obvious what's going on, listeners. We have the 20th century to learn by. Weather engineering is the number one concern that everyone should have, because they're not going to stop at this. And this is a biodiversity region now, New Orleans. They're going to rebuild it to the way of wetlands. Right in the front page, it's talking about this on Sunday's edition of the Oklahoman. Paul in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the broadcast. Hello, Paul.
The X-Flare business. Last week, you were wiped out. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, Saturday, it cleared up. Sunday, it was cleared. Yesterday was okay. But today, you're getting more white noise in the background.
Keep your thoughts in place, Paul. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Stay with us, listeners. Commercial pause for the Free Enterprise Cause. Stay with us. It is Poker Face. Pokerface.com is their website. That's Pokerface.com. They will be with us on the first hour on Thursday. Paul at Pokerface, or from Pokerface, and his whole crew, I hope, will be calling in on Thursday, the first hour. Back to Paul in Fort Lauderdale. Paul, yes, shortwave is very unpredictable, isn't it?
Yes, I was listening to George Norrie last night, and he had a gentleman on the first hour of his show who was an expert. He was very well qualified to speak on this whole solar flare business. And I think within the next 2 or 3 weeks, he is expecting some very severe solar flares that might even wipe out satellites, because those sunspots are coming around the right side of the sun now, and they're moving towards the center of the sun. So it seems to, here in Fort Lauderdale, worst time of day seems to be anywhere from between 3 and 6 in the afternoon. However, there was one discrepancy in this gentleman's argument, or theory last night. Was it before, I don't remember, I listen to radio all the time, I can't remember where I heard it, but these solar flare cycles, the sun's activity seems to run in 11-year cycles. Now, this cycle was supposed to have reached its peak in 1999 or the year 2000. Now, here we are in 2005. Now, we're on a decreasing level right now, and you'd call it halfway down the left side of the bell curve. Now, if we're in a decreasing cycle, as it always has been, this cycle has been fairly consistent all through the years, why are we getting these huge X flares now? See, this doesn't make sense.
Okay, now, I was just going to ask you, being that you monitor and you study and you're researching, couldn't we be jammed?
It's either one or two things. Either, I can understand them. If they were just after you, all right, WWCR does the Patriot Radio thing along with a couple of other stations. Okay.
Right.
If they wanted to single you out, they could single in your frequency. But when this happens, the entire shortwave band is wiped out. Now, there are certain frequencies in shortwave and single sideband that are used in transoceanic aircraft navigation. Okay, your regular listeners know what those are. That means those frequencies are wiped out too, which puts these planes at risk. Because when you're out in the middle of the ocean there, the only way you can communicate, unless they're doing it off of a satellite now, which I doubt because they're still in the air, if you're halfway between, say, Gander, Newfoundland and Shannon, Ireland, you have to contact these different airports on single sideband. And there are various frequencies for that. So they're going to be wiped out, too. Now, I don't know who's doing this. Maybe it is the sun. Maybe it is.
Well, let me ask you something. Here we're getting these weather anomalies, and it's been reported to me that the weather is perfect in Russia right now and these days.
Well, it's perfect down here in Fort Lauderdale. See, well, what this could be, too, is if they are warming up or cooling down the oceans, okay, if you have a fault line right under the ocean, that is getting ready to pop one way or the other. If you heat that ocean water up, it's going to make the water lighter, and it's going to begin to rise to the surface. So if the weight of the ocean was pressing down on a fault, the rising ocean water is going to cause the fault to buckle. Now, conversely, if you want to cool the water down, it would make it heavier, which would press down on the fault.
Let me ask you,
causing something to happen.
What do you think about, what do you know about HAARP and its influence on this?
HAARP, as I understand it, the HAARP project, it did have the capability of heating up or cooling down the atmosphere. It also had the ability, I believe, to enhance the effectiveness of the over-the-horizon radar, which is ostensibly what the Russian woodpecker was supposed to have been. Now, I can hear things that sound something like the Russian woodpecker on short wave, and I strongly suspect it's from over-the-horizon radar from Cuba, being, you know, the location I am.
Well,
because it would move along the frequencies. In other words, it would come on, say, I'd be listening to a BBC frequency, and all of a sudden I hear this this intermittent hammering noise, and then it will move off. So I have a tendency to think that that was over-the-horizon radar.
Any way you look at it, we're having problems, and it emphasizes the fact that everybody's got to do their own research on the website.
Yeah, but before I sign off, what I'd like to do is to give people on the West Coast especially, and people who are living around the New Madrid Fault, a heads up. George had a guy named Berglund on, who is an earthquake expert. He's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And this might seem silly, but one of the things that he uses to predict an earthquake is that the animals seem to have this sixth sense, and they know when tsunamis and earthquakes are coming. You can witness what happened over in Indonesia when all the animals took off the high ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
What Berglund does, and I guess this works, look in the paper. If you get a daily delivery of a major metropolitan newspaper, look at the number of lost animal reports. If you only get four or five a day, and it's fairly consistent, then there's probably nothing going on. But all of a sudden, if these lost animal reports multiply by three or four times, you know something's coming.
Thank you, Paul.
And it works.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll be back to continue with the broadcast. Rick's back. We'll bring him up momentarily. Something else, too. Listeners, stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
See here that according to this information that I have here, 11 EPA employee unions representing over 7,000 environmental and public health professionals of the civil service have called for a moratorium on drinking water fluoridation programs across the country and have asked EPA management to recognize fluoride as poisoning or posing a serious risk of causing cancer in people. Now, this isn't making a lot of sense to me. It says the unions acted following revelations of an apparent cover-up of evidence from Harvard School of Dental Medicine linking fluoridation with elevated risk of a fatal bone cancer in young boys. And keep in mind this document found in an IBM computer in 1979. It is patently impossible to discuss social engineering or the automation of a society, i.e. the engineering of social automation systems, which are silent weapons, on a national or worldwide scale without implying extensive objectives of social control and destruction of human life, i.e. slavery and genocide, people. And this is the point, listeners. The population reduction agenda is well in place. And this is what I've been seeing. This is what the aerial spraying is about, in my opinion. And certainly the wars, the unnecessary wars, the ridiculous wars, especially Korea and Vietnam, and now the Middle East mess. I mean, come on, listeners. How can we be so stupid as a public? Well, they engineer the stupidity, listeners. Let's go to Rick in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
It's good to hear you.
Thank you.
It appears from what you and others have read recently from the papers, from the AP and other wires,
mm-hmm.
that the public's finally waking up.
Good.
It's about time they did.
Oh, boy.
And course, I didn't have any real eye-opening revelations for you or anything. I just wanted to name over a thing or two that I like about your program.
Okay.
That it is a common-sense program. You don't get off on religion, you don't get off on philosophy, and you don't get off on race. Or I've not heard you much.
No, I have not, and I do not, and for obvious reasons, in my opinion.
And I appreciate that. You are right. That's a very common sense problem. Yours, Jerry Godetti's, John Moore's, and John Stattmiller's, and Frank's are my five favorite programs on RBN.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of good programming on the network, huh?
A lot.
Good.
I also like Jack McClown fairly well, too. But y'all's offer the most practical answers in the least amount of time. Which practical answers is what we, the American people, need to get from each other.
Yes, you've got to deal with the cold, hard facts of what's being engineered on us today. And take it back to the wars, take it back to the documentation that we have to be disarmed, and see what's been engineered to bring that result about. Here we have thousands of the poorest people of the country being distributed throughout the country now. And what's that going to do but devastate local economies, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, incidentally, one thing happened to come to mind in relation, of course, Jerry talks about the bird flu on Saturday and Sunday. But usually on Saturday I'm on my way to a meeting, to church meeting then.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday's a rerun. So I just thought I'd toss it out when I could now during your program. They found that kimchi does significantly help to reduce the death from the bird flu. Why can't the folks that make sauerkraut at home just toss in some garlic and peppers in their sauerkraut while they're fermenting it? Because that's the part that does kill the virus.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, as I buy garlic in bulk and use it everywhere. Because I think garlic is the big healer. Keep in mind, bird flu more than likely might have been created because under Agenda 21, we're not to be eat any meat at all. We're not to eat any meat at all under Agenda 21. So mad cow, bird flu, other things coming about. And didn't bird flu come from Asia and China?
Yeah, but it was in this country in the late 70s.
I see.
I remember reading of it in a magazine out of Bethel, Pennsylvania, called the Sacred Name Broadcaster in the late 70s. They were reporting that a Pennsylvania farmer had several flocks of chickens and turkeys destroyed by the state government back then due to it.
Uh-huh.
To prevent it from spreading.
Well, I'm very suspicious about all these problems being created on us. And all the documentation that Agenda 21 proposes to us to engineer directions. And certainly you have to find ways to get people off the land. And so that's why weather modification must be our number one priority right now, to expose to all, representatives, neighbors, everyone.
Also, Lou White documents this in his book, Fossilized Customs, that over in Israel, I believe it's the Defense Department. Anyway, it's one department that's in charge of both public health and the health of the soldiers, found that elderberries help to kill out cold and flu virus, which even when they're cooked, even with sugar added, like for elderberry jelly or syrup, or when they're fermented, like for wine. And that they'll give a death punch to various viruses.
I see.
That could come in useful.
Yes. Now, where do people get elderberry?
Along the roadsides, in the fields.
Uh-huh.
They're very common.
How do they learn to recognize elderberry?
They kind of hang down in a cluster. Looks like if you want to call it an umbrella.
Is there a reference book that you can recommend to listeners?
There's several guides to shrubs and flowers that picture them. Any encyclopedia would picture them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to make it so people can easily recognize.
Foster came out in his field guide on medicinal herbs and plants with a picture of them.
Okay.
But they're very common, very easily recognized, and virtually any book on plants would have a picture of them.
Okay, Rick, I appreciate your thoughts.
Well, one more thought, and I'm off.
Okay.
I like your intro music, the music you exit on. I'll tell you why. Because I don't know the name of it, but it's a tragedy trying to pose as a comedy. Or it's something, it sounds like something that is very oppressed, an oppressive trying to pose as something happy, trying to make people like it.
Yeah, everything's all right, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Right.
There it is.
Right. And ain't that the way things really are? They're trying to make us think that we are so well off.
Yes. That's my point.
Have a good one. Yahweh bless.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate it. This is the system, listeners. We're being maneuvered and manipulated. Silent weapon technology has evolved from operations research, or OR, a strategic and tactical methodology developed under the military management in England during World War II. The original purpose of operations research was to study the strategic and tactical programs of air and land defense with the objective of effective use of limited military resources against foreign enemies, i.e. logistics. It was soon recognized by those in positions of power that the same methods might be useful for totally controlling a society. But better tools were necessary. Social engineering requires the correlation of great amounts of constantly changing economic information, which is data. So a high-speed computerized data processing system was necessary, which could race ahead of the society and predict when society would arrive for capitulation. Relay computers were too slow, but the electronic computer invented in 1946 by J. Presper Eckert and John W. Monchley filled the bill. The next breakthrough was the development of the simplex method of linear programming in 1947 by the mathematician George B. Danzig. In 1948, the transistor, invented by J. Bardeen, H. W. Bratton, and W. Shockley, promised great expansion of the computer field by reducing space and power requirements. The beat goes on, listeners. With these three inventions under their direction, those in positions of power strongly suspected that it was impossible for them to control the whole world with the push. It was possible, listeners, to control the whole world with the push of a button. Immediately, the Rockefeller Foundation got in on the ground floor by making a four-year grant to Harvard College, funding the Harvard Economic Research Project for the study of the structure of the American economy. 1 year later, 1949, the United States Air Force joined in. In 1952, the original Great Period terminated, and the high-level meeting of the elite was held to determine the next phase of social operations research. The Harvard Project had been very fruitful, as it is born out of the publication of some of its results in 1953, suggesting the feasibility of economic or social engineering. And that studies of the structure of the American economy, copyright 1953 by Wesley Leonef, International Sciences Press, Incorporated, White Plains, New York. The point is, listeners, silent weapons for quiet wars. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's documented or not. The engineering of it's well underway. The engineering of social engineering's well underway. And that's why we're moving to a cashless society. That's why, apparently, this new individual, Roberts, who is going to be the next Supreme Court justice, was told, apparently, that he was going to have to make a decision on microchipping the American population, whether they want it or not. Listeners, microchipping the population, whether they want it or not. He's going to have to make the ruling. One man is going to have to make the ruling on the entire population of 250 plus million in America, increasing on a daily basis, thanks to the State Department and its implementation of the United States mission to the United Nations. John in Tennessee. Welcome to the broadcast. Hello, John.
Yeah, Chris?
Yes, sir.
This is John from Arizona.
I'm sorry.
I bet you're excited about getting your chip, aren't you?
Well, isn't that amazing?
Well, you're not. You must be well Al-Qaeda then, right?
Well, this is the whole laughable part of it. I appreciate your laughter. This is so incredible the way this is being engineered on the stupid public.
I know. It's totally amazing. You know, I thought you were completely nuts the other day when you were talking about weather modification and everything until I actually watched the Science Channel, believe it or not, Sunday night.
Hmm.
And they were actually talking about HARP and how they could actually heat the ionosphere up to like 1,500 degrees with HARP. And what made me think that this situation down in New Orleans has been totally manufactured is I went to the Newswatch magazine and I was reading an article in there. It talks about how NORTHCOM is strategically placing throughout the United States foreign troops. Over 35,000 of them have already been recruited into NORTHCOM.
Wow.
And it said that two generals have been fired, one of them being Kevin Burns, within the last couple weeks. Well, come to find out, Kevin Burns was not excited about these foreign troops, foreign mercenaries being recruited into our military.
Okay, makes sense.
So this explains, and actually in the article goes on to talk about how that the Russian government, Russian intelligence analyst, began reporting, and it says August of 25th of 2005, that military leaders of the United States have communicated to many of the world's leaders that a crisis is about to occur in the United States.
Yes.
So this tells me that they were fully well aware of the situation in New Orleans, and that explains the issue of, you know, why they're confiscating firearms, why they've shut down the city, why they already had Mexican troops ready to come into the United States. This is all pre-planned.
Amen to that.
Yep.
It's a sad commentary to have, but it's only been researched by many in the past. And if you go to our website and research Blueprint for the Peace Race, you'll see that, yes, observation missions are in place, have been in place for years. The trading of military is going to be used. And what's our military? In 135 countries now.
Yeah, well, the thing is the gentleman that called in about having foreign troops coming in the United States, they're already here.
That's it?
They're already here.
They're
just waiting for the next big terrorist attack to pounce on us. They're already here.
That's right. And once again, you got to take all this to the Security Council branch of the U.N. system, of which Russia is always in charge.
Yep. So I had.
I appreciate it, John.
Thanks.
Thank you. This is the situation, listeners. It's here. It's time. This is it. I wish I was wrong with all this. I do wish I was wrong. I wish I had a real job. But real jobs are gone, for all intents and purposes. They're gone below the border and overseas. And the paper, it says it very plainly, cleaning up this mess likely will take years, with a new city slowly emerging in phases and wetlands replacing flood-prone areas. Homes may emerge on, they call it stilts, or with concrete and masonry bases that lift them several feet off the ground, experts say. In the weeks and months ahead, contamination experts will learn how deadly the water is and whether sewer and water lines can be repaired or must be replaced. This whole situation is an engineered scenario. This levee being imploded, more than likely happening. How do you get to the bottom of that? Well, sheer numbers of people doing their research on AmericanExplosé.com will make a gigantic difference, listeners. It's all here. Everything you need to know without getting into opinions is here on the website. And it's very, very important to study Agenda 21 and Chapter 40. It's very important to read Sustainable Development and Hazards Mitigation. Hazards Mitigation. Sustainable Development and Hazards Mitigation. And you go to page 19, and page 19 will boggle your mind, listeners. It'll boggle your mind. And the whole direction is on the website. It's there. You can learn it all. Thanks to Dennis and Darren. We'll be back to continue. David Bay from Cutting Edge on the second hour. You won't want to miss him. Let's hope the shortwave stays in place today. Hold on. We'll be right back. Carefully to this, people, because this says a lot. Despite the wide array of tools and techniques that are available to governments to operationalize the principles of sustainability and mitigation, one of the roadblocks to implementation is the fact that much of the land within local jurisdictions has already been developed according to practices and traditions that are far from sustainable, people. Far from sustainable. In other words, what's already been established is not sustainable, people. Including air conditioning in homes. Ironically, the time immediately following a natural disaster provides a community with a unique window of opportunity for inserting an ethic of sustainability and guiding development and redevelopment in high-risk areas. Now, I'm going to repeat that because it's very, very ironic, as they say. Ironically, the time immediately following a natural disaster, and was it really a natural disaster, provides a community with a unique window of opportunity for inserting an ethic of sustainability in guiding development and redevelopment in high-risk areas. With forethought and planning, communities that are rebuilt in the aftermath of a natural hazard can be built back so that they are more resilient to future hazards, breaking the pattern of repeating hazard destruction and rebuilding. Now, that is a simple way of stating that we want to relocate populations into sustainable communities, and we want to rewild America, listeners, where we will be in the cages, the animals will be looking in at us, and we'll be disarmed, so we won't be able to defend ourselves against a man-eating lion, tiger, people. There it is. They say at the same time the community is given the opportunity to incorporate other attributes of sustainability into its second chance development. That's right, second chance development, such as energy efficiency, affordable housing, use of recycled building materials, reduction of water use, and environmental protection. Now, when they talk about reduction of water use, is there any documentation about any portion of our country ever building a water desalinization plant utilizing the ocean for beneficial purposes in our country? There's a good question, and one that probably can't be answered by anyone, because we don't have any water desalinization plants, as far as I know, utilizing the ocean. Why is water such a scarcity today when we're surrounded by water? Makes no sense. When you have ocean liners, Carnival, these other companies that have these ocean liners, they utilize the ocean on their ships to use water for many purposes, and then they treat the sewage and put it back in the ocean. And you know that has to be a very foolproof direction when the EPA is eyeing everything. You have the Law of the Sea Convention. So ocean liners can take ocean water. They can use it for many purposes throughout the boat. And then they can take the sewage and treat it and put it back in the ocean. We can do the same thing everywhere in this country, everywhere in the world, but that doesn't help to reduce the population. This is the whole point. Population reduction. They want to eliminate, apparently, at least 4 billion people. This is the UN system I'm speaking about, listeners. This is it. They want to reduce the population down to at least 2 billion, eliminate 4 billion. Is that a pipe dream of what I'm saying? I don't think so. When you have fluoridation of the water, where you see EPA scientists, workers call for the end of fluoridation because of cancer risk. You can find that on ENS-newswire.com. That's Environment News Service, ENS-newswire.com. www.newswire.com. We're going to get David Bay from Cutting Edge for the second hour. You won't want to miss him. Stay with us. We will return with American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. Stay with us.